Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com, this is Blogulator Radio, fawning and skewering over all things television here on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. My name is Chris. This week, we have a very special pre-taped edition featuring an on-hiatus Blogulator staff writer, Lady Amy, who's been traveling the world. You remember one of our very first episodes, we talked to her while she was in China. Well, she's gone through some other parts of Asia, including Vietnam, and here she is to talk to us a little bit about more television around the world. Lady Amy, how are you?
Great. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, thanks. It's starting to get cold here in Minnesota. Is it still nice and toasty over there in Asia?
Very, very toasty.
Yeah.
I am in India at the moment, and I am pretty much melting.
I'm kind of jealous now, because it was 90 here on Monday, and then now it's dipped back into the 50s.
90 is a bit of a cool wave here.
You suck.
No, you suck.
Okay. We want to talk to you about we've been emailing back and forth trying to arrange a time to Skype and do an around the world episode of Blogulator Radio, and I know you've have a few things that were exciting that you saw in Vietnam. In China, you talked to us about a hilarious sounding cartoon show, especially since you acted as a au pair over there. But what did you catch while you were in Vietnam?
While I was in Vietnam, I had a friend that I met in Australia who happened to be there at the same time. So she took me around to her family's house, and I got to stay with them for a couple of days. And when you visit a Vietnamese family, you have to visit every single like little function of that family. So we had to go to all of her aunts and uncles' houses, all of her grandparents' houses, all of her, you know, brothers and sisters and cousins, brothers, uncles, daughters, babies, houses. Yeah. So basically we spent one whole evening going around to all of them, and they don't speak English. So I'm sitting there awkwardly on all of their couches while they're sort of like half candid, half posed, like, or snapping like half candid, half posed pictures of me, like, trying it like as if I'm not going to notice while I'm sitting in their living room that they're like taking pictures of me while I'm not looking, and then like kind of standing behind me and like taking a picture like, look, I'm with like a Westerner,
right?
Yeah.
did you do the thing where like you finally get used to them taking pictures, so you just end up knowing when to smile when they're about to take a picture?
Just walk around with a smile all the time.
You just have it plastered on.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, at least you're making us Americans look good.
That I am. That I am. But anyway, so I'm sitting on one of her uncle's couches awkwardly as he's taking pictures of me with his mobile phone. And he's got a TV running in the background, and like I'm just kind of half watching it when I notice that I'm actually watching a Vietnamese version of The Price is Right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, I know from TV or the internet or from something that I used to waste my time with in college that Asian people love television game shows.
Oh, right.
But didn't you ever watch those like Asian game shows where the point is like to hurt yourself or fall off like some kind of padded, you know, mountain or something?
Yeah. And there'd be ridiculous sound effects in the background when it happens.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I thought, like, all Asian...
is that a cell phone?
Yeah, that's a cell phone. It's okay. That's just my Indian friend Harenda here. Okay, yeah, you can go. So anyway, that's what I thought Asian game shows were. And here I am watching The Price is Right, same corny music, same like cheesy like 70s kind of decor. And the American version of Price is Right really needs like a makeover desperately, like needs to get rid of those 70s like, you know, colorings. And I don't know, they probably still have those beads hanging somewhere as door curtains or whatever.
Right, they have the models walk through them with the price tag.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
So
but
did
this
you
was
did this one have
even worse?
did this one have like a Bob Barker type host or a Drew Carey type host?
Okay, so this guy was not Bob Barker, and he was not Drew Carey either, who I kind of think hasn't quite earned his stripes yet on American Price is Right.
I don't think he's earned his stripes anywhere, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, this guy was more of a Christopher Walken type.
Oh, that sounds ideal.
Yeah, like he was everything an SNL like character game show host is, like dry and stilted, but at the same time kind of suave and creepy.
Right.
Yeah, awesome. Like I think he actually had slicked back hair. It was amazing.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. And the show was pretty much the same. It worked, you know, the same music, same selection of contestants. They have to, you know, guess a price, and then whoever's closest or not over or whatever gets to go up and play the games. But there was like a huge difference. Whereas in the American version, you will go up to play the game, and these amazing looking bikini clad models wearing captain's hats will turn around on the spinning panel and be in your new boat with captain's hats on and everything, pretending to drive it, and you know, really faking the being over dramatic with their gestures. In Vietnam, it was more like two very demure looking women in traditional Vietnamese clothing, covering them, you know, all the way from head to toe and all the way down the arm, will push back those like crimped curtain kind of things,
mm-hmm.
and show off your new heating coils. Yeah.
Wow.
The prizes were not exciting at all.
But did the contestants get as crazy excited as they do in the American version?
No.
No. How do they react?
They're just like, yeah. Cool. So
so this seemed like they kind of realized that they're not on that great of a game show.
No, I think it's not that. I think they're just trying to really act professional.
Oh.
Like they're shaking hands and they're you know, like we're making a good business deal here, right. Instead of
yeah. So it's not socially appropriate to like pull your hair out and go like punch the host in the face out of excitement. Over there.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say that's generally frowned upon in Asia.
Well, I mean, and on one hand, that sounds like it becomes more less of a joke then, right? Does it seem like is it less absurd then than watching The American Price is Right? Because you usually think of watching those Asian game shows as more absurd, where they're doing such wacky hijinks that when the Americanized version comes out, they almost have to tone it down a bit.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, it's maybe just as exciting, but more in like a Ben Stein dry humor kind of way.
Okay.
You know, like it's so serious that it's funny.
Okay. Sounds like they have a very elevated sense of humor in there.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for.
Do they have these the grand showcases at the end? Is that at least a little bit more exciting than heating coils?
I don't know, because I really wanted to watch the show, and right. Nobody else understood why I was so fascinated by Vietnamese Price is Right. And my friend was like dragging me out of her uncle's house.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Did you find out what it was called? Was it the similar translation to The Price is Right?
No idea. She was so uninterested in anything Price is Right related that I didn't push it.
I understand. Well, at least you got a little bit on the periphery there. I wanted to know if you would play a game with me based on your travels through Asia and getting kind of the glimpses of a pop culture there.
Ooh, I love games.
You do love games. Thank you, Lady Amy, for humoring me. I've been curious about, when we talked about Pleasant Goat and Wolfie Man or whatever that was from China, the show.
Pleasant Goat and Big Big Wolf.
Big Big Wolf. Sorry, I don't know where I got Wolfie Man from.
Yeah, I don't know either, but get it right, because this is going to be big.
Part of me felt a teensy bit guilty for kind of being the other, you know, and kind of looking in, like being fascinated by another culture that I have yet to experience. So I thought it'd be fun if we kind of made fun of our own culture through the light of what other countries might do if they took that our American brand and turned it into something there.
Okay.
For instance, we talked about Price is Right. They took it and turned it into something. It sounds like almost a little more too sophisticated for what we're used to it being here in the States. So I haven't come up with a particular name for the game, but basically what I want to know is what would happen if we took American shows and brought them overseas?
Okay.
I have three particular ones that have become kind of long-term brands here in the States, and to the point where it's very clear that most people realize that they're jokes in and of themselves. Let's start with the first one that has been talked here on Blogulator Radio pretty often by our own Qualler and Bridget, the Real Housewives series on Bravo. What do you think that would look like if it was broadcast in Asia?
Well, I have to admit, I've never actually seen Real Housewives. I know that's terrible for a Blogulator contributor, but
I think that evens out how much other people watch it. I won't name names, Bridget.
Fair enough. Actually, for how close I am with Bridget, I'm really surprised she hasn't gotten me to view Real Housewives every time I've been over.
Just wait till you return, because it's gotten worse.
Okay. Well, regardless, as I understand it, these are basically kind of whiny, spoiled, rich women who sort of boss around their husbands and their kids, and or maybe don't even interact with them.
True.
Is that true? Okay.
True.
Yeah. I kind of don't know if there's much that needs to be changed there to adapt to an Asian audience.
Okay.
Because from what I've seen, Asian women, at least the ones in the modern cities and towns, and especially the ones in China, are very commanding and very demanding.
Okay.
So they can hold their own in that respect.
But are they commanding and demanding in a way in which they don't realize that they actually aren't in control at all? Because it sounds like, to me, Asian women actually can have the command in order to actually make shit happen, whereas the American versions, when what make shit happens means to them is start a recording studio in their basement and con their husband into having it built for them so that they can record terrible songs.
I think you're right about this one. The Asian women would get some more results,
right?
Not ridiculous far-fetched dream results. They would be like, you know, we're gonna, I don't even know, build something practical, or I don't know.
Okay, well, let's
I think their houses would be sort of very, very modest in compared to the States. Most of the houses are not these giant mansions. In Vietnam particularly, most of the people I met were Buddhist and had these really like ornate altars in their homes where they put food and other items for their ancestors, and you light incense, and there are whole streets in Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City where you can buy these like paper versions of things you want your ancestors to have in heaven, and then you burn them, and apparently through the smoke it travels up to heaven, and they get the big house that you burned for them, or the car. So there's like paper mache cars and houses, and like there's a whole industry based on like these really extravagant luxuries that you can burn or put on your altar for your ancestors. So I imagine that the Real Housewives of the Asian version would sort of outdo each other by getting like custom made Mercedes Benz out of paper mache, or like, you know, multi-million dollar mansions that are, you know, in gold. So their ancestors are living in gold chromed houses or something.
Right.
Yeah.
I could get a kick out of that. I mean, I think especially because, if you mentioned like a mother-in-law or father-in-law to one of the Real Housewives, then it would, or any kind of ancestor or anything like that, it would be very much thrown away in favor of, being as luxurious as possible for oneself rather than to honor the past or anything like that. That it seems like,
oh yeah,
you know, that sounds
there could be like there could be a big, like, outdoing each other and being sort of a martyr and, right. you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It'd be awesome.
Let's go to show number two.
No, hang on. Okay. I've got one more thing about the Real Housewives. As I understand it, there is a DC version. Is this correct?
I don't know if it's on anymore because the woman on
that
show.
The woman who snuck into the White House or whatever, who somehow ended up on this reality TV show because in the U.S. we reward people who do crazy shit like that.
Exactly.
She apparently may or may not have been kidnapped by Journey.
Kidnapped by Journey?
Like the band, Journey. Yeah. The guitarist specifically. Yeah. she's missing, and her husband has called the police and swears that she's kidnapped, and they've gotten a hold of her, and she's like, no, I'm just with Journey, like following the band, man. So I don't really know what's going on with that, but in the Vietnam version, this person would definitely be kidnapped, and she would be phoning them from a bathtub full of ice with her kidneys missing.
Oh, that's a dark interpretation, Lady Amy.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh, that's not as fun as roading it with Journey. Oh, well.
All right, fine. She'd be a roadie for... I don't know. I don't even know the names of any Asian pop stars.
Right.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, well, this is a TV radio show, not music, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, okay.
My second show is one that, especially since I've gone back to teaching and I teach a media class, it's become a source of discussion because students, even 17-year-old teenagers have gotten so sick of this becoming a brand and just wish it would go away. It's the resurgence now of Two and a Half Men with Ashton Kutcher replacing Charlie Sheen in the lead role as the partier uncle. Just causes too much trouble for John Cryer and his son. Didn't know about this? Ashton Kutcher?
Ah, I just vomited in my mouth. What did you do to my country while I've been gone?
I didn't do anything. I stopped watching CBS a long time ago.
Okay, and you're talking to a fan of the Kutch, but still, ugh.
Well, obviously, if you call him the Kutch.
Well, yeah.
So what do you think would happen if something like this happened in Asia? A very well-known sitcom star goes off the deep end and is fired. Would that show still exist? Would they try to bring in another actor to replace him?
Let me think. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. There wouldn't be any kind of mercy on the people who had suffered
so
long.
No, and in fact, the news organizations would not even be able to report it. It would be as if this new person has always played the Charlie character.
Perfect. That I was wondering if you would go with that angle, because I think that would actually make things a lot easier on us to not have to deal with the... Charlie Sheen versus Ashton Kutcher drama. You could just say Ashton Kutcher plays the lead role in Two and a Half Men. He's always played the lead role in Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works in communist countries, Chris.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But, I think that sounds a lot easier.
I do have to say, if we adapted this show for a Chinese audience, it could be hilarious, because in China, somehow the women get their boyfriends to wear these matching his/her couples shirts that say like cutesy phrases and have like really pukey, cuddly pictures on them.
Okay.
So as a playboy, Charlie or whoever the name Ashton Kutcher now takes would have to don one of these shirts like on every date.
Okay, I like that idea.
Yeah, and so I think it could be hilarious if he's out with his one girlfriend and another girlfriend sees him in a different couple's shirt. I think that has a lot of potential.
So that happens just like across the board? Like in here, because I remember going on my honeymoon last year and there'd be terrible newlyweds with that kind of crap, like custom made for them. But that's like a permanent thing? With couples?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah. This
depressing.
Is like a permanent thing. It's and it's kind of so subtle that you don't really notice it at first until somebody points it out, and then you see like everywhere. They are everywhere.
Oh God.
There's someone on every block. You will walk, if you're in China for 5 minutes, you will see a couple wearing matching shirts.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that is as almost as depressing to me as the fact that Ashton Kutcher is now going to be back on my primetime television set every night. Yeah. Oh, well, I've got one more for you, Lady Amy.
Okay.
And it's one that I know that we both hold a little probably too close to our hearts, is entertaining nonetheless, even though now it's gotten so far removed from its original premise that we basically just have the titular characters of Law & Order SVU trying to unravel the same case week after week, and ultimately it's just becoming a soap opera about will they, won't they, between Benson and Stabler. What do you think some show like Law & Order would look like over there in Asia?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm quite disappointed that you've reduced it to this degrading description.
To be fair, you haven't seen it in the past year, correct?
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
It's gotten pretty ugly.
Mm. Still, I got to defend it.
I understand that.
All right, but adapted for an Asian audience in general, first of all, the cops would not show up in cars.
Okay.
They would ride double on motorbikes.
Ride double?
Yeah.
Okay.
Double on motorbikes, which I've actually seen cops do in Asia, and it's the most emasculating display of authority I've ever seen.
It's
it's like when I saw the cop on a Segway in Chicago.
Right.
And that was the most emasculating.
Wow. And
yeah.
Okay, so they ride up on their motorbikes, and how do they attack their case of the week?
Well, okay, first of all, I think the special victims unit would be, I'd like to think that there's potential for an entire specialty subgenre, which maybe could give a little makeover to Law & Order, the American version, if they just kind of brought it over to Asia. But the TVU, the tourist victims agent or unit.
There you go. Writing yourself into it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, every writer kind of puts themselves into their own.
Exactly. Write what you know.
Write what you know. But for all the like scams and overpromised, underdelivered tours that the tourists get, I was thinking some of the episodes could include one titled Happy Entrapment, where there's a shop advertising to make you a drink or pizza that is happy, which is all over Asia. And then arrests you just before you take a bite, which would be extra brutal because you'd be in jail, possibly on death row for drugs, and you'd still be hungry.
All right.
Yeah.
What
Another episode could be Welcome to the Jungle, where they take you into the middle of the jungle and shove more tourists into a group than is safe and kind of leave you there.
These sound like survival scenarios.
You know, to be honest, they're based on real stories.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why are you?
No,
still?
I'm sorry. These stories are all fictional and whatever else the disclaimer is that always before SVU.
Right. These are not based on real characters whatsoever. Dong dong dong.
Yeah, yeah.
Opened a shot a person that looks eerily like Arnold Schwarzenegger during the maid scandal or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Amy. I appreciate your candor, and I appreciate your insight to how, on some cases, we should be lucky of the kind of television we're getting over here versus over there in Asia. But on the same token, it sounds somehow still better than a lot of the television we get here in America.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword there, Chris.
Right. Yep, you're gonna lose, and you're gonna win sometimes. So,
sometimes.
Have you seen any TV over there in India yet? I know you just got there.
Well, I saw a cricket match last night.
Okay,
well, part of a cricket match, and that was that was cool.
I recently watched an episode of Sports Night in which they made fun of cricket. So,
yeah, cricket is sort of like the lazy man sport. Honestly, it's kind of like baseball, but they don't really move that fast. Or, I don't know. A lot of people criticize baseball for being a little slow going.
Right. I was gonna say
they've never seen a cricket match.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, good. Thank you, Lady Amy, for joining me today.
Ah, thanks for having me.
And I hope we get to have at least another around the world segment before you return here to the States.
I'm sure we will. I've got plenty in this here noodle of mine.
Okay, keep your eyes open.
You can cut that out.
No, it stays in. Don't worry. Last time I said I'd edit a lot of things out, and then I didn't.
You left it all in?
I left a lot of it in. And
you promised me you'd edit out anything stupid that I said.
And this time I actually will pay more attention because I know how to edit better on this software.
Because I've said more stupid things this
no,
time?
No, not what I'm implying at all. Okay. Thank you, Lady Amy. I hope you have good, safe travels there in India. And we hope to hear from you again soon here on Bloggy Letter Radio.
Thanks, Chris.
And as always, you can check us out online at thebloggulator.com for the written version of Pop Culture Musings, and find us on Twitter, Facebook, and I also would like to mention once again about our sponsor, Netflix. For only $8.99 a month, you can get unlimited access to free television shows, movies, and much, much more. All you have to do to sign up, courtesy of Bloggulator Radio and the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network, is go to bit.ly/blogflix. That's BLOGFLIX to get your free 2-week trial. Thank you, as always, for listening and subscribing to Bloggy Letter Radio on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. And per the usual, our opinions are valid.